and guy in a semi with a truck and trailer with the hay on it anyway. He had a flat tire going up one of those hills overlooking Goose Lake, and it was about the only spot that there wasn't a corner and you could actually pass him, but he was stuck there till, you know, Schwab's came out from Lakeview or somewhere to fix it.
I'll tell you, the worst case scenario that could happen is somebody decided that that'd be the day they move their cows.
Yeah.
We had that happen on Memorial Day weekend.
Oh, really?
Vance Blake's moved cows up Rock Creek, and there was, I mean, rig after rig after rig going up there. And here was this bunch of cows, and everybody was pretty much unhappy.
Apologize for the delay.
So is this
it? I think we're all here. Good. Roberta's not coming, right?
No, we're recording, and it's 1:33.
Okay, so everybody's heard about the eclipse on August 21st, so that's what we're going to talk about a little bit today. So on August 21st, 2017, a total solar eclipse will travel across the United States. A solar eclipse occurs when the moon passes between the Earth and the Sun, totally or partially blocking the view of the Sun. And this here is a diagram that just kind of shows that. So the big deal with this eclipse is this will be the first total eclipse visible in North America in 38 years. So hope for a sunny day and be ready. The next one is going to be on 2024, so I'll show you a map. So this one is going to go across Oregon in that direction right there, you can see. So it's going to, so if this was a map of the United States, it, you know, comes in Newport and it goes out and it's going to exit South Carolina over here. The one on 2024 is going to come in Maine and it's going to exit down in Texas. So it's just going to be kind of opposite of this one. So with this map right here, this is the map that a lot of people are seeing, and they're thinking, a lot of people, that if they're not in this area right here, that they're not going to see anything. Well, that is inaccurate. So the whole state of Oregon is going to be fairly dark, and you're going to see pretty much the same view throughout the whole state. Because if we see this mark right here, this is 90% dark, that line right there and this one. So if you look at Oregon up here, it's going to be 90% or darker at the least. And here's another map of that. And I'll show you the difference between 90% and the totality in the middle there here in a second.
That it's going to be 90% dark from the Canadian border to the California border.
Yes, yes.
In the Northwest.
Yep.
The middle California.
This is just a little video that shows the starting of the eclipse and they're just moving across the United States, North America. So the eclipse will start about 9:04 and it'll last about 2.5 hours before it's totally through the United States or through the state of Oregon. I mean, that's from starting to end. Now, see, the one in 2024 is going to enter Maine, it's going to come out down in Texas. So that's the part that's going to be affected then.
There will be a total solar eclipse in the United States of America
total solar eclipse has not been visible from the United States since 1979, and this will be the first since 1918 to travel from coast to coast. So that's the big deal about this eclipse. Not many people witnessed the solar eclipse in 1979 because the path just clipped five states in the northwest, and at that time the clouds were it was cloudy. Sheriff Matt Lack remembers that day. He was running traffic on 7:30, and he said he did see it. So, and that's kind of the big draw to Eastern Oregon is our good weather at that time of the year. So people on the coast, they're not going to get a great view if it's cloudy, so they want to get the best view they can, so they're going to head this way. On August 21st, the center line will cross 12 states, but everyone in the continental United States will see at least a partial eclipse. And so, everyone in Oregon is going to see at least this right here. The totality is right there, but we're going to see a variation of somewhere in the middle of here. So we'll see this coming in, and then there, and then going out. But in Oregon, we're going to see at least that right there. They call this the totality. Right there is what everybody wants to see, but we're going to see at least this.
And there's not a lot of difference, is
no,
there?
No, not much at all.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking, especially if you're like drinking out in the middle of the forest somewhere.
You know? Yeah, or you got, you know, that 8-hour drive from Madras back to Bend.
Yes.
Like, I'll show you another map here. Okay, as far as viewing the eclipse, this is the area right here. They say it's safe to view. These areas out here, as they say, is the danger that will burn your eyes. It'll be similar to a welding flash if you've ever been flash burned by a welder. Scratchy eyes, it burns. It's not comfortable. So these glasses right here are the ones that, if you want to watch them, the eclipse, these right here, especially for the kids. When I ordered these, I wanted to order like 500 at one time. Well, I couldn't find a place that would let me order more than 200, so I had to order two batches, and I got 400. And so after I bought 400, these ended up costing me 65 cents a piece. So, and I've got 400 to hand out to all the employees at the sheriff's office and their families, and they'll have some extras that I'll just hand out to kids and stuff. So. Only those in the path of total eclipse will experience seeing the sun's corona, the bright ring around the edge of the moon's shadow, and stars in the daytime. The corona, that's what the eclipse chasers want to see. And I'll show you some pictures. This is the pre-totality. They all want to get these great pictures and video right here. That's what they're after. It is. And I've watched a video of it. It is really cool. I mean, when I first started researching this, I was like, oh, big deal. You know, I've seen this before. But the more I checked it out, it was like, wow, this is pretty neat. On August 21st, the total solar eclipse will make landfall at approximately 10:15. Now, that's the center of the eclipse, the totality. So at 9:04, the outskirts of the eclipse, so you'll start seeing the shades of daylight get darker, starts at 9:04. So at 10:15, the totality will break in Newport, Oregon, and at 10:27, it will exit Ontario. The path of totality will be approximately 70 to 90 miles wide. That varies depending on what expert you're researching. Some people say 70, and some people say 90 miles wide. So, and that totality is going to last approximately 2 to 3 minutes. That varies too. I've seen from a minute and a half to 3.5 minutes, so it's somewhere in that area right there.
Is the OHV in the 70 or 90?
The OHV park is in the totality, so the it's going to be, yeah, it's going to see the what everybody wants.
I put a link on our website to the interactive map through NASA, so you can go anywhere and you can drop a pin and it will tell you kind of where you're at, when the full eclipse would occur, for how long, and so forth. It looks like the line goes right between Anson Wright and the OHV Park for the path of totality, so it's like right there.
So the moon shadow will travel across the United States coast to coast, covering 2,496 miles in approximately 94 minutes, so it's moving pretty fast.
That's your SR-71, isn't it?
It's going over 2,000 miles per hour. So this is a map right here that I found interesting. So if this is the totality right here that everybody wants to see, this is the black with the that everybody's trying to see more. If this is 100%, well, Eugene down here is 98 to 99%. So not a big difference between here and there. And this is kind of about the same difference we are up here. So, I mean, it's going to be, everybody in Heppner is going to see pretty much the same that people's going to see at the OHV Park. And over here is the times where, this is when the shade of daytime will start changing at 9:04, when the eclipse starts, and this is when it will be back to normal. So what does this mean for Morrill County? So starting in mid-August, eclipse chasers from all over the world will converge on the United States. They're saying a million. They're estimating 1 million people. They will make it a point to travel wherever they need to ensure they witness this eclipse. They've planned ahead, and that is their goal. They're going to go where they need to see this. Morrill County will see people from other states and maybe even other countries. This is some photos of the Rainbow Group that is in Grant County right now. On August 18th, most who planned ahead on traveling to Oregon to see the eclipse, they'll be in position. They've traveled ahead, they're prepared, and they've made plans. On August 19th through the 20th, we'll see some last-minute travelers on the roads, and I think this is going to be the busiest time on the roads right here. And then, of course, after the mass exodus. So we estimate all the parks are going to be full. And around the Orchard Feet Park, we're thinking maybe 1,000 other people. There's just going to be a lot of random camps. So if they come down and the parks are full, they're just going to be throwing up camps wherever they can find a spot. This does not include the people who travel through Morrill County for the Rainbow Group or the hunters coming in to start getting prepared for bow season. That type of stuff. Because that same weekend is the start of the bow season. So the bow hunters I'm a little concerned about that. So you have all these bow hunters that have hunted here for year after year after year. So then they come up here and some person from who knows where is in their campsite, they're not going to be happy. So that, and we've ran into that just on regular hunting season. So that might be an issue that pops up. And then like I said, the Rainbow Group, the Rainbow Family, they're down in John Day right now. When they first started getting together down there, they estimated 10 to 25,000. And I don't think they're seeing that many people show up down there. But there is a lot of people there. And there's been a lot of things. You can go on the internet and read about it. There's been a lot of things going on down there.
Are they still coming in, or are they pretty much all
there? Still coming in. Some of them will be leaving after the 4th of July celebration or thing. But some of them plan on staying for the eclipse, so who knows? They don't really want to tell people what their plans are.
Between John Day and Seneca, between the 4th of July and August.
And this is just some more pictures of the Rainbow Group.
That many people just sets up tents?
Yep.
Is that this year's pictures?
No. This is from the Ochocos, the last one they had. So from August 16th to the 23rd, Morrill County could see large economic surge. There could be benefits and drawbacks. The key to success will be flexibility, planning, and preparation. I-84, Highway 207, Highway 206, Highway 74, and 730, we're expecting to see high increase of travelers from August 16th to the 23rd. And we'll also see these travelers on county roads and city streets, in our stores, gas stations, etc. And what we could see is we could see traffic jams, accidents, lost and stranded motorists, random camps. I think we're going to see a lot of random camps. Trespassing and medical issues. Not to mention, if you get that many people, you're going to see some crime. We're addressing the trespassing issue. We have a form that we're talking with all the landowners about. It's a form that says, I don't want people on my property, and the Morrill County Sheriff's Office has permission to handle the situation. So let's say on your property. Somebody throws up a tent and we drive by there. We have this form you signed that says you don't want nobody camping on your property. We'll go up to them and say, you can't be camping here, you have to move. But if you go 5 miles down or 6 miles down, wherever, you can camp there. We'd rather handle it that way instead of citing them or arresting them or something like that. But the benefit of having this form signed ahead of time, so let's say we go out there again, another scenario, and contact them, but we don't have that form signed, we have to track you down and find, is it okay for them to be there or not be there? It just saves us a lot of time. And it's, if you don't want them there, it's just enables us to get them off your property faster. And ever so far, everybody we've talked to, and we're going to be talking to a lot of people about with that form, everybody really likes that form. And this is just a picture of some, you know, random camp. That's probably what can be seen, just, you know, in some clearing somewhere. This is a picture of the Rainbow Group. I think we're going to see just random camps like this. Maybe not this big, but, you know, a couple tents here and there, just thrown up anywhere. The thing that concerns me a little bit is when you get these random camps like this, everybody wants a campfire, you know, that time of year. So with the locals, I recommend stocking up on needed supplies to get through the week, at least 2 weeks in advance. And that'd be water, gas, medications, food. That way, if all the locals are prepared, the stores can sell it to the travelers coming through. Because we've run out of gas down here just in the regular hunting season, so I'm a little worried about running out of fuel. And make sure you have your safety glasses for viewing the cliffs, and that's these right here. You can get them online. And travelers, reserve accommodations, plan ahead, and be prepared for the traffic. You know, bring water, food. Don't rely on your cell phone, GPS maps, because it's going to be overwhelmed without any people in the area. And fuel up, because if you get caught in a traffic jam, you want to sit there and run out of gas. Food, I talked about that. Packing extra food and snacks while you're traveling, water. In case you do run out of gas or get stranded somewhere, you have food and water. And make sure you bring your eclipse glasses. ATMs in these rural areas are not used to that many people, so I can see the ATMs running out of money, so that might be an issue. And some of the stores and restaurants in these rural areas don't accept credit cards, so that might be an issue for some of the travelers. And in this area, you know, be prepared for the hot temperatures. And we could see temperatures in this, you know, near 100 or higher. So they said, you know, pack hats, sunscreen, ice water, or whatever you can to beat the heat. Public safety-wise, from the Moore County Sheriff's Office perspective, this is going to be an all-hands-on-deck for us. We're going to have increased law enforcement traffic patrols countywide to cover this event. Moore County Emergency Management, we'll be working out of its mobile command unit based at the Moore County OHV Park. South County patrols will be organized and assigned from the EOC based at the park. And we'll be patrolling, the South County patrols will be patrolling Highway 207, the 21 Road, and the 53 Road from the OHV Park. That's not counting our additional traffic control and law enforcement that we're going to have on duty to cover the other parts of the county. So there'll be day and night patrols to maintain public safety and security. Temporary repeaters will be placed in South, Umatilla County, and Morrill County. We've already taken those down there and tested them out, and they worked really well. I was a little concerned about this because there was a lot of areas in the South, Morrill and Umatilla County, our deputies get down there, and we absolutely have no communication with them. So these repeaters helped out big time. And also, on the communication side, we're going to have a ham radio operator in our EOC at the OHV Park. And there's other ham operator personnel around the state that they're going to be communicating. And we also have the ability to send data packets through the ham radio to the sheriff's office. So that's going to be a big help. So let's say somebody's in an area and a ham radio says, hey, there's a fire breaking out in this area. and it comes into our ham radio operator. We're going to have a dispatcher in the command truck that can dispatch that from there to the sheriff's office to generate a call for that. So from the command truck, the radio communications will be on the 450, 518, 519, and Black Mountain. Those are just different repeaters. Extra fire crews and EMTs will be available to respond from the OHV park. Morrow County Emergency Management will have drone capabilities from the EOC base at the OHV park. I recently assisted Umatilla County with a search and rescue of a lost 13-year-old female up in the tollgate area. And I did some drone missions up there, so that worked out pretty good. And I bought one personally, so I have one. And I will be buying one for emergency management for Morrow County. I just got to get some people through a training. You have to be a certified pilot to operate those drones on a mission, or have a certified pilot with you while you're flying the drone. There's a lot of rules to that, so we got to make sure we get that covered.
Does your pilot have to be current? Have 3 touch and goes in the last 90 days?
You'd be perfect. So this entire event is, like I said, this is going to be an all hands on deck for that week countywide. This event will take a lot of teamwork, and we will have to be flexible and adjustable and adjust accordingly. So we're preparing for the worst. So if we start getting into this week and we're not seeing the numbers like we thought we were going to see, then we're just going to be able to cut back. We're not, you know, let's say we have 10 guys on duty that day, and we see we don't need 10 guys on, then we'll send some people home. We're not going to pay them overtime when we don't need to. And we've been working on the schedule, adjusting the schedule where there's the least amount of overtime, but still have the coverage as possible. So the command structure from the Morrow County Sheriff's Office will be as follows. I'll be the emergency manager. Operations Lieutenant Terry Harper, he'll be the incident commander. Our operations section chiefs will be Sergeant Piercy, Sergeant Snyder, and Sergeant Rayburn. Logistics will be handled by Jerry Roberts and Sergeant Ivy Zimmerman. Planning section, it's going to be unified command. Finance section, I'll handle that unless it gets crazy and out of control. And then I will be coming to these guys.
I'm on vacation that week.
PIO will be handled by our Lieutenant Melissa Ross and the Sheriff, and that will be information provided by me. Communications will be handled by Lieutenant Bowles, Sergeant Smith, and Deputy Eric Patton. So Eric Patton and Kristen will be working out of the command truck, and Sarah will be in charge at the Sheriff's Office. And that's all I have. Is there any questions?
Are we going to have, what are we going to do for extra fire prevention that time of year? Are we going to have any? I mean, that, to me, that's the one area where we could.
Yes. Extra fire crews and personnel in Berkeley might be able to jump in on this. They're going to be stationed up at the OHV park.
Okay.
Well, I've heard there could be a 2 choppers, an extra 30-man fire crew up there.
John, what that is it's still going up the chain to ODF.
Okay.
Right now, I do have a helicopter coming in. It'll be in the 10th this month. That will be stationed there. It'll be there for the summer. That's just an ongoing thing. With that, there also comes a ODF manager for that. We've talked to the upper crust, and it hasn't come down as far as if they want that extra 30-man crew there or the extra helicopter. I've made allocations and places to put them that's not in a hub, I mean not in business or interfere with anything else that's going on. I can hide 500 people there. So that's not an issue as far as logistically speaking.
Yeah, and I imagine it all depends on what active incidents they've got going on.
Absolutely. And I did talk to Chief Rusty Estes, and he says no, he's not coming to the park. And I understand that. He has to protect his home.
Right.
Absolutely. You hear things, and I don't plan on them, you know, because nobody's come to talk to me or Bert that I'm aware of from other departments. I've been in talk with Terry and John. We've got a pretty good thing worked out how that's going to work.
Yep.
I think it's going to work very smooth. Mm-hmm. I really do. I've got some other assets coming in as far as water and ice and different things. Mr. Sorte, I apologize. I haven't gotten back to you on the last request on our discussion. I haven't had time. I'll get to you this week.
John, are we coordinating this with Grant County as well? Do we know what they're doing?
No. We will. I just haven't contacted them yet. We've just been too busy getting everything else prepared and trying to get a game plan. We just completed a operations plan, but it's law enforcement only type plan. Mm-hmm. So we just finished that actually this morning. So we've been busy putting stuff together. Well, I am in contact with Umatilla County on a daily basis. Tom Roberts, the emergency manager over there. So
who is the one in Grant County? Do you know? Sorry.
I don't know by name.
And Commissioner Reagan, or may have been a question for you.
I just wondered, have you made arrangements for additional EMTs to be at the park in the event of I fell down and scraped my knee or I'm having a sunstroke?
Absolutely. Well, yes. I have. My EMS up there is all volunteer.
I know that.
And so I do have an extra, I'm not counting what you're bringing me. I should have three besides myself. It's really hard to count myself. I think I'm the highest ranking EMT up there.
You'll be running and doing everything.
You've got other duties.
I do, but life and death.
Sure.
Comes first. Yeah. Absolutely. So, yeah, I should have a total of four, not counting what he brings with his group. I did talk to, Rusty. Rusty doesn't have that kind of people bring on. We're working on a communication straight line from between Boise Park and the hospital.
Okay.
EMS, our EMS part of it is doing that. If we've got to buy a radio or whatever we're going to do, just set that up. I need to talk to you about that too. Also about.
I think we need that.
Right.
Would it be appropriate to put some signs out on the highway? Emergency first aid services available X number of miles at the OHV park or
something. I don't want something. That kind of business. I'm a lazy medic, Leanne.
I know, but if you have people in here that don't have a clue, right. They may be within 2 miles of the OHV park.
You're right.
And they'll turn around and come back to Hecker.
Yeah, there is going to be reader boards up with information. And we've talked about, Terry and I talked this morning about having signs. Just so like that. If somebody from Portland comes up here and they're driving around, they're going, man, am I lost? What's, some kind of signage where they know at least they can get emergency services.
So long as ODOT's good.
Yeah.
Right. That's
and ODOT's the one that said they can put out reader boards.
If I look really hard, I think I might have one of the old signs that came off the trailer. That said medical services. And maybe we can talk about a reader board someplace that has EMS services.
And what I envision with our South County patrols out there would be coming out of Woodfield Park. So you got 207, you got 21 Road, and you got 53 Road. Everybody familiar with those? There'll be a starting point and ending point. Basically, it's just patrol, make contacts as you need, patrol back and forth. You know, so you've got three cars, one on the 21 Road, 53, and the 207. So if anything happens within that stretch, I mean, they'll find it. So that'll be day and night.
Logistically, as far as EMS, we're set up with our equipment, and it is ready to go. We've been working harder to anti-fire.
So what about Wheeler County?
What about Wheeler County?
Do they have any resources?
They do, but not that much.
No, I mean,
the problem is
they're right off of that same highway. They're right in the main traffic area, and I can just see that being a problem.
And then Grant County up there by us.
Mm-hmm.
And I have left two messages with EMS and Hepburn, and John Day. I haven't gotten a call back yet. I just, to coordinate touch bases. Because we do have an MOU with EMS there that we'd respond to Grant County since part of us as part of it.
And we have the action plan for the Oregon State Police and all their personnel from detectives that are normally out of uniform. That week, they're all in uniform and working the road. That being said, down there in Madras in Central Oregon, that might get a lot of the state attention is because there's going to be tons of people down there. I mean, they're having helicopter rides, balloon rides, concerts, big food vendors. I mean, they're wanting people there, so it's going to be a big deal down there. And I just came back from Bend, and there is large areas of farmland that they've got cut down really, really low, and they have big signs up that says Eclipse Camping. They're already advertising it, so.
Well, I think Wheeler County was a little bit ahead of us as far as organizing the landowners to, you know, contact them, and if you're willing to rent your spots. So, I mean, I've seen
my camper stuff.
Yeah. And I haven't heard of anybody locally that is eager to rent out their property. That's at least nobody's contacting me or saying anything about that or asking questions.
That would be a far season problem for, yes, for these people.
Yeah, the concept of eager is easy to go, and then you're like, this.
Yeah. Well, my concern is we've got, I guess, 6 acres of land up at Parker Reed's Mill. Mm-hmm. Nobody around there. I mean, it's got an outhouse. So what's to keep people from coming in and just...
You signed that form.
Yeah, exactly. Because I would just as soon not have a bunch of people around there. Because like you said, the grass is going to be tall. And
you can make a killing up there. Get up there and brush on that.
Get up there.
And you can put that on Airbnb and it'll be
rented. Yeah, that tall grass, you know, people that don't live in Eastern Oregon, this dry area, so they drive down from the valley somewhere where it's green and wet. So they drive all this way over there with their car, and they stop on this tall grass that's dried out. Right there is going to go up. And
yep.
So the fires is what I'm really concerned about. And I'm hoping we just don't see the large numbers like everybody's saying that's going to come in. But if it does, we'll be prepared as much as we can for it. So,
John, is there any way that the state, on the state highway department, could put something out there that these roads are narrow and they do have lots of curves in them? Because you take somebody that travels the freeway only, they're not going to have a clue. And I can see these people coming up here in some of these big fancy motor homes, and they want their half out of the middle because they don't want to get too close to that edge.
The state, there is a lot of information out there on the internet. If anybody's looking, it's all over the place. So when I was putting this thing together, I mean, I could have had this thing be 2 or 3 hours long, if you know, because there's so much information about this. So it's out there if they want it, but they got to go look for it.
Well, my concern is, you know, they're going to think, oh, it's only 10 miles, you know. Well, that 10 miles
windy
is...
windy road and
yeah,
narrow lanes. And,
yeah, people have breakdowns on the road to Hana, as far as, they call it Divorce Road over there. It's like, good road!
And where did we leave off with the parade, the fair parade? Because we had some discussion at our community meeting about that.
We did have some discussion about it. We actually are hoping to leave it as it is. If we need to, we thought about maybe being able to make minor tweaks in it. But we'd love, you know, we would like to keep it as it is because that's what our community expects.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
I think it'd be easiest just to leave it, because we will have the personnel to do the traffic control down there.
See, and I think that's what the issue was and why it got brought up, is because it was made up that we wouldn't have that.
Yeah, and I...
And so yeah, I was like, no, I'm pretty sure we will, but...
Yeah.
So
I think it'd be best just to leave it there on Main Street. Okay. It doesn't last that long. We've done it every year. No. We know how the whole process works, so let's just do the traffic control and get to the parade, and then we will go where we need to go from there.
Okay.
So that'll give us a sense of where to put our lemonade stands, right?
There you go. $5 a cup.
Yeah.
Start walking down the highway that way with your ice waters. $4.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be presenting this presentation and answering questions all over the county the next month. So, and I got, this is an updated version of what you have on the webpage right now.
Send me whatever you got.
And then I'm hopefully can get a meeting set up on the 20th and get some fire concerns and tips and information on there as well.
Sounds good.
One technical thing when you're given this, I think the one in 2024 will enter in Texas and exit in Maine.
It was in Maine.
Yes.
Pardon me?
Enters Maine and exits Texas. Yeah,
I think the sun turns around on us. I think it's going to be the other way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll look. Is that it?
Other than that, it's a good presentation. That's really good.
I just don't know, I mean, we get the word out to our locals around here, but how do we get the word out to people coming in that Heppner's the end of gas services? Heppner's the end of fire services. If you break a fan belt, you're in deep doo-doo.
It's great.
And you're not going to run into a gas station every 20 minutes, you know?
No. So. Or 20 miles.
Or if there's a traffic jam anywhere. There's too many roads.
And I think a lot is making sure our actual local community here knows that, you know, we really are going to be affected by it.
Yeah.
Because I've talked to a few and they're like, oh, that's not going to affect us at all. We're not even going to see hardly anything. And I'm like, actually?
Yeah.
I've gone to some of these meetings and we are. So I was talking to Damien with 4-H. And I make sure, you know, whoever's running the snack shack knows that, you know, you gotta have this stuff stocked up because you might not. You know, just run on down to the grocery store and grab what you ran out of. And I guess she was like, oh, I didn't know that I should do that. So
even going to Costco the weekend before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe talk to the city that some kind of reader or something lasts gas for 40 miles or 60 miles.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they could put something up within the city.
And we got stuff, we put signs up for hunt season and stuff like that. So we're, mm-hmm. you know, honestly, the hunt season, we're used to seeing 6,000 people coming to us. Now, you add that with the E-Plus people, it might be a little much, but we're used to seeing people come through. We're used to the gas station being busy. You know, we're used to the store being sold out of the many items, and so. So we'll see.
Turkey and beer.
Yeah.
Turkey and beer.
Beer chips.
That's all these bags.
So that's all I have.
Are they selling the glasses around here in the drug store or anything? Or?
Very exciting.
That's what I wondered. Yeah. We can tell people that.
Yeah.
We'll have a few at the park.
Yeah.
Okay. Some, when I was searching for these online, some people will sell match, you know, 10 per order. The most I found was the 200 per order. And I ordered from two different places. So I tried to order one order, 200, and they go back in and do another order for 200, and they wouldn't let me do it.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
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 Find another restaurant.
Yeah.
One more thing, John. Before you leave, I'm sorry, I'm the best. The livestock around here have the right of way. Mm-hmm. If you're driving your vehicle and you hit my cow, you're going to pay for my cow.
Correct.
And I think that's something.
And some of those cows are pretty spendy.
Yes, but the valley people are not going to realize. I mean, you know, get that cow out of my way. But
we've dealt with that in the past, and they realize it real fast.
Okay, well, yeah, I'm sure they do after they get
there. We ran down, and we moved a bunch of cattle that was off right on a bad corner yesterday morning. Mm. It's like you just got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
And we were going through, and I had Deputy Jerry Robinson, and he was there, and we just took care of it, and he went his way, and went my way, and those are, you know, things are, they're going to come up.
Yeah.
But by that time, I think that those cattle are going to be moved off of that and up a little farther into the 21.
Speaking of which, Jerry, we need to, and I don't know if we need to talk to Bobby, somewhere here we've got, the county has a map of the livestock districts, and it needs to be put onto the website. So that it's
accessible.
Currently, you can't find it anywhere. Yeah.
Well, and it's a question mark in several places.
Yeah, and there's a few places it's kind of up in the air.
Gray area.
Also, from many years living with an insurance agent, people from
elsewhere.
Places that don't have gravel think that, I mean, they literally would ask him, insurance adjusters would ask Steve, well, why didn't they chase down the truck that threw the gravel at him? Yeah. What?
Yeah. Like, yeah, unless the truck's hauling gravel, they don't have liability.
No, because on the road, you're...
Yeah.
Or if it hits and you don't realize it cracked until a couple miles down the road.
Or the next season when it comes off the side.
So John, what is your outreach that you're doing exactly? You're doing these in all communities around Monroe County. What else are you doing?
Sending out mass emails.
To?
Everybody.
Like you have everyone in the world's email, or?
No, I mean Monroe County, all the Monroe County staff, okay. Employees. Facebook, I keep adding information on Facebook, and that's pretty much right now.
And then
yeah, neighboring counties.
Some of that is hitting the website. Are you doing press releases to the Oregonians?
I haven't done any press releases yet, but I can do that. That's a good idea. Like I said, this year is an updated version of that, so we need to update that PowerPoint on the website.
You know, how they did the 10-day Cascadia thing in East Oregonian? It'd be interesting to find a East Oregonian or Oregonian writer that would do maybe a few-day, story
these
things, and maybe you could guide that with a little bit press release information that they write the article or.
Okay. Contact. Right.
It's just an idea. Like Leanne said, getting the word out is the hard part.
Huh?
Church putting this down with the rain was right now.
I read that.
Yeah, I read that article too. Yeah.
Is he staying or just?
is he like undercover?
Yeah.
I don't think he's undercover. Okay. He's just.
Yeah, I think didn't he just do a day down there?
I thought he was.
Or is he going to stay down there?
I got the impression that he found out he wasn't going to write it one day, and he was like going to come home and.
God, I can't think of any. Okay. More undesirable place for me to be than there.
Yeah.
Hot. Just think how big the learning curve got.
No. I get a walk through the park districts downtown Portland every once in a while. It's just the same thing on steroids.
So are we going to have vehicles that are setting up evening trade business?
We'll see. Who knows what we're going to come across?
It's a barter business.
Are they doing it or what?
You're quite the entrepreneur today, Leanne.
I'm just thinking.
You looking for a profit opportunity for the 6 acres?
Yeah.
We're not people.
Yeah.
They're working businesses.
Okay. Legal and otherwise.
Maybe they'll go back up
there. Put my cap in
there. Like we used to have a house up there. Maybe they'll reset it up.
So I keep going back to the OHG Park seems to be everyone's emergency center. The Forest Service talking about it, the Sheriff's Department. But yet, that's where all the visitors are coming. So I'm sure you're planning around that. But it almost seems like the emergency manager would be like off that site. Because of all the visitors coming to that site.
I'm going to be both, between the sheriff's office and the park. So if I see during that event that it's not busy enough for me to be in the park, then I will just stay at the sheriff's office. That would be a lot easier for me.
And how will you travel?
Just drive.
You've got a helicopter up there.
Well,
yeah, that's your only two options, really.
You may not be able to drive, though.
Well, then I'll just have to stay in town or there. I mean, wherever I'm at, if I can't drive anywhere, then...
You were going to order a helicopter, I thought.
I'm not a rotary wing pilot. I like stuff with a glide slope.
I get what you're saying. Yeah. It's going to be a tornado. You're better off having your emergency operations here.
Than where it's going to hit.
Yeah.
And everybody's, I mean, that's what the Forest Service is doing.
But
what you're doing. I don't. I just keep questioning. Where's all the people going to go?
I'm just very popular up here right now.
You are.
And we're spread countywide, so we're not putting all of our eggs in one basket. We've talked about that. We don't want to put 90% of our employees at the Ouija Park. So we've got everybody spread out there countywide, because there's still good things going to happen on the north end of the county. So.
Mm-hmm. And you are going to be self-sufficient, not depending on Greg's water and stuff. You all will have everything you need.
Yes.
Our wrench is hot.
How much did we raise the rent?
Not for that.
Not for that event.
The rent didn't go up, but the cost of water did.
Yeah.
I mean, for example, we'll make sure that we have a medical examiner on both ends of the county, a supervisor on both ends of the county, that type of thing. So. the first when we started putting the schedule together, we're like, you know, this isn't going to work. We can't have this many people there. So we had to spread it around. So.
So what's your biggest focus, do you think, is traffic accident, fire? What do you think is the number one?
Well, it's hard to pinpoint. Public safety and security is our number one objective all the time. Keeping people moving traffic-wise, I think that's going to be key. My biggest concern is, I think, fires. I think the fires could really be a problem.
When do you need those? Yeah. When do you get nothing else to
do? So are all of our parks going to be prepared for extra parking? I mean, I know, like, Cutsworth Park, not all areas are always prepared for parking. Are those going to be extra mode and prepared for extra parking?
With what we have available, absolutely. You know, at Cutsworth, we have the day use area by the ponds. We thought about that, so that if we do have, you know, large groups, that they, you know, you can't put 10 cars in one spot. And those parks are only they're only built for so many people in a spot anyway. So when we're at capacity, we're capacity. I'm not going to ruin somebody else's experience to make the extra dollar either. You know,
sure.
To get but two people in there. So.
I meant temporary parking, like parking lots.
The only one that I'm going to be really, really probably crushed at, because the OHV, that's fairly easy as far as moving there. Cutsforth is going to be fairly easy. We have the day use. We have
Anseright.
Anseright is going to be the tough one. And Anseright now is full.
So it's camping sites.
Yes. Yes.
There are you is some, but it's limited. Extra space for parking kind of stuff?
Well, the lawn, you know, and the lawns are there. The grass, the fields, and they're well kept. They're solid right now this time of year. So that's an option. I really didn't want them there on the grass.
It sounds like we're not going to have many choices.
Right. I mean, we'll do what we're going to do. We have to adjust a little. But, you know, that's the only one that's going to be really tight because of the way it's set up.
Are there additional spaces like Brooke? I know the top of Coal Mine Hill is the snow park, if you will.
Yeah.
Are those kind of spaces being kind of prepped?
That's available. Well,
ish. I'm not recommending, I'm just questioning.
No, I don't know if Forest Service has done anything else.
So that snow park is Forest Service?
Mm-hmm.
The coal mine parking lot is state?
Yeah.
Whose is that? Up top.
Coal mine parking.
By the Texas Road.
Oh, on top of the white turnout.
The turnout, yeah.
Part of it's the counties and part of it's the Forest Service. That white spot by the stone bar. I guess it's our problem, but there's not much we can do different over there.
Sure.
That's where I think we're going to see a lot of the random camps, like Keller Prairie. I just mentioned Keller Prairie. That's a big opening there. Could be a lot of people camping there.
Mm-hmm.
So. I mean, at all the parks, at one time or another, it seems like we use the majority of the available space just for a wedding or a reunion, or you never know. And that'll happen once in 5 years and just deal with it. So I mean, all the area is available. It's there, short of having a staff of people that are parking cars. And, you know, what are you going to do? It's all there and available.
Yeah.
We got the big parking lot right across from the park, the big paved lot there that cuts for it. And actually right across the cattle guard going up the hill, there's another big wide turnout there. There's lots of places. And I'm sure if it's that bad, they'll all get used. How efficient will they?
That's going to be random camps.
Yeah.
It is.
It's like saying when we're full, we're full.
Yeah. I would think there's going to be more random campers down on the John Day River itself.
Yeah.
That's going to be the area of greatest concern for local landowners because that's right in the center and people want to be right in the center and it's got a scenic river that flows through there. You can dip your toes in if it's too hot in the summer and sit on the bank and drink beer.
And to get into private landowners. You're camping home, they're probably.
Yeah, and that's going to be the issue for those landowners, is do they want them there or not. But.
I missed the last community meeting. Who took the lead on trying to kind of register landowners that were approving?
The last community meeting, I missed that one. I wasn't there at that one. So
we didn't discuss. I think we need to coordinate with planning, decide how you want to do it. Chamber was at.
I think the chamber's taken the lead already and is doing it. That's why I was asking.
Planning, I want to talk to Carla because she sent an email about, you know, she would like to be involved. But she said it seemed kind of like the chamber is taking over. And she said she had no problem with that. But she wanted to be kind of involved there a little bit as well. So.
Yeah, I just bring her in, let her know what we should have her do.
Yeah.
Has ODOT been any of those?
Yes.
Yeah.
He didn't make the last one, but he was one for,
you know, so the 14,000
cars. Yeah, I know he wasn't the last one, that's what.
Yeah.
I think Cheryl was trying to take the lead to keep it not getting regulatory. Mm-hmm. Not that that's where planning would go, but that in landowners' mind, that's where it went. And so I think that's why that's swirling like it is.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, conversation.
And I've been talking with Cheryl, and she asked me to come down to the chamber tomorrow, so I'll be doing that. And then she also talked about doing a couple of town hall type meetings and talking about the eclipse and just kind of discussing everything with everybody, anybody that wants to come. So I'm sure we'll be doing that. So.
Anything else?
We want to move on to.
Yep. Thank you.
You bet.
Okay.
I apologize because I guess I wasn't real sure what you wanted.
You don't have a PowerPoint like John?
No. But I spent quite a bit of time putting these together.
Wow.
So my grandson's up, has it got an X marks the spot like you gave me last year? If you were going to go fishing somewhere between now and Friday, would you go to the same spot I went last year? The day you park?
No.
No.
Yeah, that would be good, but if you want, just I'll be up there all week.
Yeah, we got to take them back to put them on the plane Friday, so we're thinking maybe Thursday evening.
Okay. I'll be there.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, I'll ask for you, see if they know your name this time.
Sometimes you do hide.
No, you were busy.
I need my paper. How are you?
Oh.
I don't.
I've got two more. Get one for Kirk and I, and there's two more to office. What I did is, I wasn't really quite sure what you guys were wanting. This is just a large information on the parks. You do have some of this, you know, the heat and our equipment list, but it's all in here, it's all included. It starts out with a history of the park, its conception. So I know it's a lot of reading.
You know, this will be great.
Yeah, it's be good stuff.
Yeah.
Well, what happened was, Jerry asked the question about having this work session, and that was last week in the middle of the week, and so I was trying to think, well, okay, what do we want to talk about? And so we made a list of 18 different bullet points, and they're pretty much all covered in this, and another part of the discussion that I'll let Greg go. By doing this, and if there's other things that anybody here feels we need to come up with or put in this, we've talked about information to the public so they know what things are about. And so compiling that information here, a person I think could work up a pretty good editorial or something along that line that could publish and give that information. Not all of this, but an encapsulated short version of it, possibly. So, anyway.
And I think what was nice is when I was leaving,
this was all going digital. So.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. As far as this, and this will be, we'll have this book here on the computers.
So I guess our question is, what sort of things are you interested in knowing more about? Would it be the contracts we have at the parks? Would it be master plans? Kind of would it be
Our operation? Whatever you need to know.
I think maybe just to get you started. Probably what's going to happen, we're going to read this, and it's going to lead to more questions. That probably we should have read the darn thing and had it work.
I shocked by it. Just finished it.
No, I understand. And no, this is fantastic. But,
and that's okay.
Tell me about your contract with the restaurateur. And you know, I went and met with them. They seem like they're doing a great job. They seem real enthusiastic about what's happening, and they seem to enjoy it. Is it do we do like a... Year to year, or is it longer term?
It's in here right now, and we have it's a year to year RFQ type. And so what it is that the building, I guess to make it really short, so the building is the park's building.
Mm-hmm.
Amenities, everything in there. They actually do all their, I mean, their menus, their ordering, whatever they're selling as food and stuff. That is kept track with on a cash register type deal, and they pay us a 10% of gross to be there.
So, question is, why not more than 10%? Because the conception was to, matter of fact, the conception was when we formed the park, is that park was supposed to be an opportunity to promote business, not for the county to go into business. That being said, that meant that Devon Oil in Abner, Oregon sold gas, or the gas station in Spray sold gas, but we wouldn't sell gas and compete with them. We carried that through with our, you know, our cabins are owned by somebody else, and that's a business. And that business pays taxes, and they pay for the insurance on those cabins and those things. So this restaurant is essentially an amenity to the park. It's something that draws folks there. And so long as it doesn't cost us money to have it there, it's a good thing. If the contractor that's got the business is making money and paying their taxes, and part of the economic picture of the county, that's good. I mean, we've promoted that, so that's the mindset behind pretty much everything up there. Because we're not in the business of being in business; we're in the business of giving an opportunity and just making things work.
These guys that are there now, they've been there just last year or two. There was somebody there prior to them.
And prior to them, there was another Lovegren had the same kind of a deal. And then we had, before that, a gentleman by the name of Bob Allen that was there for several years, actually. And he started out with a little concession trailer. Mm-hmm. And he started out, it was a little trailer that he'd built, and then that grew and grew to the point he couldn't keep up out of that. And then we fixed up the building to where he parked his trailer actually inside of it and served through the petition out of his trailer. And he wanted out. He was just getting old enough, and, you know, he just couldn't do it anymore. Then we went ahead and renovated that and made it into a kitchen, and then we had, actually our first contractor was Harshman's.
In the building. Yes.
Harshman's, and then the Lovegren gal, and now Barb, and yeah, so there's been three that have actually worked out of the kitchen.
And these guys have been there for 2 years, 4 years?
This is their third season. And actually, that, Jim, that I did break that down in here.
Yeah, that's right. So yeah, I mean, I'm probably having to tell me stuff that I'm going to be able to find.
Oh, and that's fine. So it's that you have a history of what has gone on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the current vendor up there puts out a pretty good meal. I mean, if you walk away hungry, you're an awful big eater. That's all I can say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they seem like they do a good job. I visited with them. They acted like they could even maybe serve more through the fall season if there was something there to accommodate them. I don't know that they were necessarily wanting that to happen, but they said they were full up, especially on weekends or hunting occasions and those sort of things. So that's good.
So that building, really, the way we built that building was we did some logging in 2012, 13, I think it was. And that generated, there was two different projects we did, and it generated enough money we were able to upgrade the building and build the kitchen out of that money. I mean, that's how we got there. So what we did is just turn around and reinvested the logging money into that. So the building didn't owe us anything, really, other than the opportunity for that business to be in there. And it's something people really like.
It's a big amenity of the park, it really is. Mm-hmm.
So why don't you just go through there?
With the contracts?
Yeah.
I guess, is there something that's standing out to you guys right now, or?
Contract agreements.
Yeah, that's what I'm at right here. The history is, and it's always been a 10% of gross on our vendors for food, the landing, the trailer. Our cabin contractor was SME. It started out in 2005 to 2010. It was 66. It was a percentage. 66.7 went to SME, 33.3 went to parks. In 2011, presently, it was changed because of the percentage with the reservation fees, and it went to just a flat dollar fee. And that was $27 to contractor and $18 to parks per capita, per rent.
And that was based on what, did you say?
That the reason that was changed because it was of the processing fees, the charge. It was hard to separate that from on a percentage because that the processing fee has to go through the county because that was our cost. So that's why I went to a flat dollar rate instead of a percentage.
It's just easier to keep track of.
Yeah,
quite honestly.
You guys know who SME is?
Okay. Well, it says.
I think that stands for South Morrow Enterprises.
Yes. Yeah. Those are flat per unit per night?
Yes.
And then the expenses to those, is that adjusted here in the house? The cleaning, the electricity?
Yes, right. A contractor is responsible for all maintenance of cabins. And what we do is that we do a cleaning between. They go sweep the floors and pull the garbage out. So it's not a... 2 hour deal is in it, or you go in, it's 15, 20 minutes to clean the cabin and go on. If there's issues with the cabin, we do have reports that they fill out. They're turned into me or the office, and then they go to SME. So that they have to be fixed. If it's an emergency fix, I will fix. I mean, in the middle of the night, light bulb goes out or something. Yeah, I'll put a new light bulb in or something, or a heater, try to make it work. And those are billable hours back to SME. If it's a 5 minute fix, I probably don't say anything.
It's a major fix, you build out.
Absolutely. Or if it's a major fix, then we close, shut the cabin down until they come up and correct the problem.
if it's something that's we don't have time to do or
water, electricity, all that supplied by the county.
They don't have water or power.
No, they have power.
Power. Yeah, there's no water. They're into it. And that is, yes, that comes through the county.
Yeah, that's part of the $18 a month is the electricity or propane, because some of them are just propane and not electric.
Electricity and propane are county?
Yes.
And staff of reservations and all that stuff is county? All the reservations are going through?
Yeah, yes.
So that $18 is there to cover those costs, which is actually more than 10% on some of our other things, but it takes that to cover all the costs.
And the fees of running the reservation system, is that all ours?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and they charge
It's a 10%.
10%. Is that what they charge, 10%? Right. So counts the credit card processing fee and everything?
Yes, it goes through PayPal, and then and that covers PayPal and the company that takes care of the reservations.
And we pay that fee?
It's charged to... Yeah, we do, but it's charged with that 10%. If I rent you a cabin for $45, you know, it's $4.50 more. It's $49.50. That's the 10%.
And that comes out of the county's 18?
Yes, on this 18.
So if I could add in, I just made a reservation at the park this morning, and it was $51. And so $5.10 was added, so my total cost was $56.10. Is what was charged to my credit card.
That fee is paid actually by the reserver.
So the consumer actually pays that fee.
Yeah. Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, that fee's over and above the 18.
Right. Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yeah. What's included in the 18 is just our basic electric, propane, and cleaning. We figure cleaning $250 a day, which truthfully covers it because it doesn't take 15 minutes to clean those little cabins. They're really simple.
They're a very small cabin. A room.
No bathroom.
I can't clean my bedroom in 15 minutes.
Have you been in one of those little cabins?
But usually what happens is people are there and they don't want you around there. So they're there for 3 days. Once in 3 days you will clean the cabin.
In between.
But we figure $250 a day, so...
And so those numbers, did you come up with those numbers in 2011, same with the 10%?
Yeah.
I just want to say first off that of all the questions that we've asked, you have been exceptionally great at just providing information. Instead of being defensive, it's like an open conversation, and you just supply the information, and it just, it's easy to answer the public's questions. It's a great relationship, and I appreciate it 100% because I know I have a lot of questions.
And okay,
thank you for that, first of all.
Well, thank you. And I want you to be able to answer the questions.
That's so awesome.
There's a lot of negative out there, and that if we can get rid of that, I think we're going
to
be.
That's exactly right. And being able to just go, no, I've got to see all this. They're open and transparent, and the information is there. Every question I've ever asked either of you, so.
Thank you.
That said, thank you for continuing on.
So that's kind of always been one of the things that we figured would make this place work was we just had to be transparent as could be. I mean, you just didn't want anything that there was a gray area that somebody could point out and say, no.
Right.
So I guess it becomes habit after.
It does, and you're right. I do get probably a little defensive because that they, you know, where is this coming from? I can show them if they'll take the time.
Mm-hmm.
So and it's
yeah. No, I haven't seen defensive at all on that.
Okay, good.
Makes it awesome.
I ran back with on that's our contract. Any questions on the SME or our food concessions?
The only other question is then anything that gets replaced or done within that building, it appears to me, is always the county's. We did the fryer, and then I think there was a TV or something.
Absolutely. The building and the refrigerator, freezers, everything that's in there belongs to the county. Okay, and that's kind of our responsibility. like I say, the fryer, I had to put a new fryer. And I know that was questioned hard on the TV. And that's okay, because, I mean, to me that's, I'll explain that if you want me to. I didn't bring my notes here, but that is a central place for a lot of people to go into. We got these big events go, it's a TV, it's a big enough TV that you can actually have a computer, show the events results, show what's going on, your news, solar eclipse, you got things going on. I love it, the idea of a kids' night. Put popcorn in and put a movie on it. It's a media center. There's a lot of people going in and out of there. The uses for that TV was, I couldn't see a bad side down to it. My initial cost was the television. The restaurant says that they would pay for satellite TV. So that's their cost. And that was the reason for that.
Well, yeah, in that building, the way we built it, we can shut that kitchen area off. Just shut it off. We still have a restroom there, and we can still use that for meetings and other functions. Or like Greg said, run movies at night for kids. We got a big pull-down screen to do that. Could be such a thing as, you know, in a meeting you want to take that TV and basically run some different programs on it off computer and flash them up there. So,
yeah.
Yeah, as far as the TV goes, there's a lot of practical reasons for that. But there's a lot of practical reasons to make those buildings, you know, able to be used for other functions too. The support building we've got, when that was built, that's set up with a, what do you call it, the projector?
Yeah.
That same projector and pull down screen. I mean, basically you'd go in there and use that for a command center if you had to.
He's still here.
I know. but you could do that, and we built all of that stuff with kind of multiple functions in mind.
And backing up, you did use that when we had 79 firefighters. But that was threatening the whole county. So that's when we did take care of guests, but all bets were off. We took care of property first. And they did move in. They had those. They took over the landing. They took over the upstairs. And their command went very smooth because of it. So, back, I guess, down into the camp host, that's kind of from the very first camp host we had, what was paid per day. It took a jump in 2009 because it was a couple. The duties, the bathrooms got bigger. There was more duties at the OHV park. Reservations were, and it just got a lot busier. And it took a couple to do that. Those stayed that way until 2015. That's kind of when and that was probably me, because I looked at the duties they were doing. The garbage collection, he does most of that. He does the restroom cleanup. He does meet and greets the guests. He does a very nice job. You got to get what you pay for. You got to kind of keep your people there. So that's why that rate increase was. And then with the $35 for all parts. My hosts do a really good job. They take pride in their work. They take pride in their parks and with their people. So that's why I like to keep that wage up. Just bump it up $10. It's not a lot of money, but gives them incentive to do what they're doing. Anson Wright, I got a guy come back this year. I didn't have the money for that park like I'd like to have. I had to cut his wages. He's a volunteer. He mows all that grass, picks up the garbage, greets the guests, treats them like gold. So that's ownership, okay? And that's why those went up in my mind, along with the extra duties. And they were actually out for each park pays their own, so OHV doesn't pay Gus Forth. I mean, they're separate.
The grazing permits, that's with Reitman Clark, Horseshoe and Triangle Ranches. That's one for Grant and one for Moore County. That's 2005 to 2008. That's been in place way before me.
But they're reviewed every 2 years?
So every year. The last one's 5 years.
The last one's a 5-year contract. That's I wanted, I thought it was for sure, but I'm not sure.
And how about the other contracts, the landing and the cabins? Are those on the renewable contracts, or what are those contracts?
Yes.
The landing's yearly.
Landing's yearly.
Year.
Cabins are.
That's kind of a hybrid, because the cabin contractor owns the cabins, correct?
Correct. And the only way to break the contract is to remove the cabins.
Well, but I'm sure it's not a lifetime contract. It's got to have.
No. It was, and I apologize, I don't know that answer. I saw it in there, and I don't.
Well, I think it's every 2 years, Greg.
Yeah, and I would hate to say something to that. I'd be wrong.
I think it's every 2 years.